From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on a Tuesday morning. Well, in the midst of an 80-city tour, Bayer is highlighting the hard work of farmers by partnering with country music superstar Luke Bryan this week. Now, Bryan is currently in the middle of his 2016 farm tour, which offers thanks to the hard work of farmers while providing meals to those in need. Ray Cairns serves as Bayer's Senior Vice President of Corporate Affairs. He says Bayer joined Luke Bryan's farm tour to put the spotlight on farmers.
This is our second year sponsoring Luke Bryan's farm tour. And one of the reasons we signed on originally was because of the focus of the farm tour, which is about recognizing the American farmer for what they do to feed America and feed the world. Sometimes we do forget. You know, you walk into a supermarket and you see your fresh produce or the meat behind the counter, and we don't always think about where that comes from and the hardworking men and women who are out there every day trying to help us with food on the table.
Bryan is the son of a Georgia peanut farmer and launched the farm tour in 2009. Karen says the tour is an excellent way to educate consumers about the importance of farmers.
We believe that what he's doing to try and spread the word about farming in America is very important. And so when you put Bear and Luke Bryan together, I mean, you can't go wrong. It's a real huge opportunity for us to educate folks all around the country and around the world about the importance that our farmers play. Nobody works harder than our farmers here in America.
And the farm tour promotes Bear's hashtag Thankful for Ag campaign that motivates consumers to provide meals to those in need while thanking farmers for their contributions to feeding the world.
Well, anytime someone hashtags Thankful for Ag, we will donate a meal to someone here in America who can't afford their next meal. You know, last year, working with Luke, we donated over 300,000 meals through Feeding America, and we've upped our game on this one now. This year, we're looking to donate over 500,000 meals, and Luke's excited about the program. We're excited about the program. Again, it's about recognizing the American farmer, but doing something good and helping feed America.
Well, you can learn more about the hashtag Thankful for Ag program online at thankfulforag.com. That's Thankful for Ag. That's the number for ag.com. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, Trans-Pacific Partnership. We're going to talk about that a little bit. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about the Department of Agriculture going to actually get another person in the new trade office. That's coming your way next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910. Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, as well as Ag News 890 and Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, both Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, as we mentioned before we took the break, as the presidential candidates argue over trade deals, the Department of Agriculture is rushing to finish a study before the Obama administration leaves office regarding the creation of a new trade office at USDA. Now, the 2014 Farm Bill ordered the report to plan for a new office of an Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Ag Affairs. Now, the move is a reorganization that Senate Ag Chair Pat Roberts told USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack recently, and a key is key to passing trade deals like the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, Roberts complained the report due in 180 days is now over 2 years late.
As you near the end of this administration, can you assure us that you will provide your strong forward thinking and recommendation for this reorganization and provide the report for this year? I think this is absolutely essential if we're going to have a breakthrough with the Pacific Rim trade deal and, for that matter, any trade deal that follows.
Secretary Vilsack apologized for the lateness of the study, but pointed out that Congress asked for not one, but two studies.
This is a very, very, very complicated issue that you've presented to us. It doesn't just simply involve setting up an Undersecretary of Trade. It really does take requires a look at all the equities within the USDA and outside the USDA relative to trade. And there are a multitude of equities. I was surprised at the complexity of this in terms of our team talking about this. But we will do what we can to make sure that this is teed up for the next administration.
And, of course, Vilsack pointed out earlier the overlapping and competing jurisdictions within USDA and between USDA and other agencies on trade. Avoiding conflicts and duplication will be key to creating new undersecretaries' post, but agriculture leaders see such an office as an important advocate for agriculture in pending and future trade agreements. And, of course, speaking of trade agreements, on Farm Talk with Mick Kerr, tomorrow afternoon I'm going to have an interview with Ambassador Darcy Vetter. She's the chief agricultural negotiator for the United States. And we will talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, some do's and don'ts and whys and what's in over 5,000 pages of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. That coming up tomorrow between 2:30 and 3 o'clock on Farm Talk with Mick Kerr. Well, ABC Network, along with employees Diane Sawyer and Jim Abela, are asking a judge to dismiss a $1.2 billion defamation lawsuit regarding the network's reporting on lean, finely textured beef products. ABC had nicknamed the product Pick Slime, which Beef Products Incorporated claims led to significant losses. BPI filed the lawsuit in 2012, claiming the reporting led to the closure of three plants and roughly 700 layoffs. However, in the request for dismissal, ABC argues that the number of reports was driven primarily by questions from viewers. The Washington Post reports ABC's argument counters the lawsuit characterization of the network's coverage as a vicious, concerted disinformation campaign against BPI. Court documents recently filed by ABC argue the work was done in the public's interest as consumers, and they were unaware that the product at the time was present in 70% of the ground beef sold in supermarkets. That case is currently slated to go to trial in June. Well, former American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman has joined the Foundation for Food and Ag Board of Directors. The foundation announced last week that it was expanding the board to include six new representatives. Stallman and the five other employees or appointees will serve five-year terms. Well, we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what's going on as far as sunflowers are concerned this year for harvest. Thanks for joining us for Inside Agriculture on this Tuesday morning. We're broadcasting from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios. Well, according to the executive director of the National Sunflower Association, John Sandbachen, the sunflower markets have dipped a little recently with harvest pressure after hitting a price peak back in, actually, September.
We definitely were. You know, we hit our peak about the first part of September. We were up at that $18.90, $19 level for oils, and confections are up at $25, $26. And now harvest is starting to kick in here in the northern plains in North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota. So prices have trended down a little bit because of that initial harvest pressure that delivering into the crush plants.
The Department of Agriculture will release the monthly World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates report tomorrow. He says the industry is looking to the report to give the industry direction, as it will provide an estimate for sunflower production for this year. He says the initial harvest reports, they've been good.
The initial harvest reports that I've gotten have been just very good. You know, I know in North Dakota, I think there's been some areas where they had really excessive rain, and so yields were low at about 1,000 pounds an acre. But overall, most of the reports I'm getting are in that 2,000 to 2,500 pounds an acre. I've had even producers that I've talked to that had over 3,000 pounds per acre. So those are off-the-charts yields for sunflower. And, you know, in the High Plains, I've had some reports out of Kansas, and I'd say right now the average is around that 2,000 to 2,500 pounds. There again, I've also had some 3,000-pound yields that I've talked to producers. And, you know, it just shows you what a difference a rain can sure make in a year. And my God, you know, it's been just such a great turnaround from when we had those drier years.
Now, according to the 5-year average, he says that 1,600 pounds for dry land is the average in the Kansas area. Also in agriculture news, we'll talk about actually Russia. The American Journal of Transportation calls Russia a grain superpower as wheat exports from Russia surge. The journal says grains are propelling Russia's ag into a renaissance, charged by the 45% drop in the ruble against the dollar over the last few years in bumper crops. Last season, Russia topped the U.S. in wheat exports for the first time in decades and is expected to extend those gains to displace the European Union from the top spot this year. Wheat exports from Russia are projected around 30 million metric tons, and President Vladimir Putin of Russia last month urged the country to not hurry in moving excess grain. Russia's Ag Ministry says the nation's all-grain crop was estimated at 110 to 115 million metric tons, the largest overall grain crop in 25 years. The EU is also enjoying gains in wheat exports. The gains by Russia and the EU are coming mostly at the expense of the United States, which has seen its share of wheat markets steadily moving lower in recent years. Well, we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, we're actually going to talk the hog market. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of hogs out there, and the price at the grocery store looks like it should be coming down for the fourth quarter. We'll talk about that coming up next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, as we begin to wrap up what's going on inside agriculture on this Tuesday morning, this past week, massive hog slaughter numbers were reported at 2.42 million head. Now, hog slaughter is nearly 6% larger than 2015. Steve Meyer, who's the Vice President of Pork Analysis for EMI Analytics, says packer capacity is being totally stressed.
Well, it's not very positive at all for capacity come November, December. These numbers are running ahead of what our forecast had been by a percent or two. Even coming out of the Hogs and Pigs report, that number was a little higher than where we were. So if that continues, we're going to be in a real bind when it comes to November, December. Now, you know, there is a little bit of evidence weights have not been up as they normally are over the last 2 or 3 weeks, and so maybe we've been kind of holding these weights steady and pulling, getting some hogs sold. Obviously, there's some people concerned about lower prices yet to come, and so there is some incentive to do that. So right now, though, we've got at or above slaughter capacity basically for all of November and December, and so. It is really imperative that we stay timely in our marketings and get those hogs moved. I mean, it ain't going to get any better. And so if anybody thinks it is, that's wishful thinking, that we need to get the hogs moved.
Meyer expects the packer capacity issue to be the biggest challenge in November and December.
These packers can go beyond that a little bit, but we think on the barrel and gilt side, you know, we're still not anywhere. We're not that high. There's two subsectors on packing capacity, one of them being barrels and gilts, the other them being sows. And so we think the barrel and gilt side has been pretty much right at capacity over the last 3 weeks. And the sow numbers are the ones that have not been at capacity. So, any slack is on the sow side. They don't move over there very well at all. And so we're going to be very, very tight all the way out. But the real crunch is going to come in November and December. And we can push, you know, 5.6, 5.7 work days, 5.6 or 5.7 work days per week. You can't do that for very long, though. Your people and your plant get tired real fast. And so, it's going to be hard to go beyond that.
Now, hog prices are expected to trade sideways, if not lower, during the fourth quarter. Again, Steve Meyer, Vice President of Pork Analysis at EMI Analytics. Well, that's what's happening today inside agriculture. Again, Darcy Vetter on Farm Talk with Mick Kerr between 2:30 and 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.